Good evening, and I want to take a reading from the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 16. The book of the Acts and chapter 16, and we're going to read from verse 30. Acts 16 and verse 30. Our text is verse 31, but let's read the end of verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is a wonderful text in the Bible, a text that many boys and girls learn from the very earliest, and I was one of them. I memorized this verse long before I can remember even doing it. But this verse that we learn, many of us, from the Bible, it is more than simply a sentence. It is an answer to a question. Now, life is full of questions. What time is it? I think we ask that one most days. How much is it? You go to the store and the label has fallen off and you want to find out how much is it? And then the boys and girls have to go through school. Apparently we do. I know most boys and girls don't really like school. Some exceptions exist, but for the most part, doing the math and learning the spellings and, well, whenever you get a little bit further up, struggling with calculus and integration and learning about expansion and contraction and all the different formula, it's all difficult. But the reason that they have to study is this. They come to the exam and they're going to be asked questions. Now, what I want to preach to you this evening is not only an answer, but it is the answer to the greatest question that this world could ever know. Now listen, boys and girls, you might never know how to fly a Boeing 747. You might never know how to fly to the moon. You might never have the ability to perform brain surgery or to drive one of those big trains through the prairies. Those things take skill. You've got to train. You've got to learn. You've got to answer questions and get the right answers to those questions. But listen, you already know enough to get to heaven. You know the answer. The greatest question, how can I be saved? How can I be ready? How can I meet God and be prepared? How can I be sure of being in heaven? How can I be sure of escaping hell? Listen, the answer to that question you already know. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I think this is the incredible thing about the message of the gospel that boys and girls and older friends can have in a few words the answer to the greatest question they'll ever face in life. The man who asked this question was a man who never thought he would ask it. He wasn't really at the beginning of the day looking for the answer. The man who asked it was a jailer, a prison wardener. He was a man who would have probably served in the Roman army. It was the ex-soldiers, that were usually chosen for a task like this, and he had risen up through the ranks, and he was not simply a guard in the prison, but he was in fact the one who was in charge of the prison. He would most likely have been a calloused man. We were chatting in the home about those that guard the border on the 49th parallel. I'm not saying they're as bad as this man, but some of them look like it at times and almost act like it because they have such power. And they can turn you around and they can say, you're not getting in here. And there are not too many smiles with them. I don't think this man would have been pleasant company. A hardened prisoner, prison keeper, a man who would have been perhaps difficult to get on with. And certainly he was ruthless whenever he was given the task to take these men that had been severely beaten. What were they beaten for? Did they get into a riot? Had they broken in and stolen things? No. They had begun to preach the gospel. They'd begun to tell people about the power of the Lord Jesus changing lives, saving souls, setting free from the power of Satan, bondage. And these men were taken and were beaten and were given to this prison officer. And he took them. And he put them into the inner dungeon. He put their feet fast in the stocks. He was not going to have them escape. He gave them the most uncomfortable of circumstances. And having locked the gate, he went to his quarters and fell fast asleep. He was not thinking at all about meeting God. He was not thinking about his soul, his sin. This was a day for him just like any other day. Now I may be speaking to someone this evening, and today began for you just like any other day. You never thought that getting up this morning and brushing your teeth, and maybe getting the order wrong, but putting your Cheerios in the bowl and pouring in the milk and buttering the toast and going for the daily paper. You never thought that you'd get saved today. But listen, you're not saved yet. But you could be saved before the day is out. Here was a man, he never thought that this would happen to him, but it did. And what made the change? Well, let's think about what made the change. There was a great earthquake. The man was rudely awakened out of his sleep. I don't want just to think about the fact that he physically was awakened. Sometimes that is a challenge when we're preaching the gospel and it's warm and people have a full stomach. Then sometimes we've got to lift our voice a little bit to make sure that people are physically awake. You see, preachers see everything from up here. We've got a brilliant view. But we're not thinking so much about being physically awake. But listen, my friend, you will be physically awake when you're saved. You don't sleep into it. You don't drift into it. You don't turn over some morning and say, hey, something happened last night. I know what it is. I must have been saved last night. No, my friend, you will be very much awake if you get saved. But this man was awakened in another way. You see, in his hand, his trembling hand, was a knife, a sword. He held it close to his chest. He was about to take his life because he could not face the consequences of his actions. He did not want to answer for his responsibilities in this life. The Romans were
themselves just as ruthless as this man would have been. His employers would have held him personally accountable for any of the escape of those that were placed in his charge. If a prisoner got free, what that prisoner was going to bear would have been transferred to him. That was the way the Romans worked. They were ruthless people. They rewarded those that did their job well, but they were very severe upon those who let them down. This man, he awakened, there was an earthquake, and the doors were open, and he was sure that all the prisoners had escaped, and he could not face his responsibility in this life. He was about to end it all. One of the curses of this current generation is the increasing number of suicides of young people. A tragic growing up. And it seems they come to a point where they cannot face tomorrow in this world. But what really awakened this man when he was sobered and had long enough to think about it, that he might have escaped the consequence of his actions in this world, but he couldn't escape God. And if he'd carried through with his foolish action and had taken his own life, he would have gone out and he would have got to me for all of his sin. And this big man began to tremble. It's not a sign of weakness to tremble when you think about God. Some people think, you know, I'm big, I'm brave. I wouldn't want anyone to think that I was troubled about my sin. I don't want the preacher to know. I don't want my mum and dad to know. I just keep a stiff upper lip. I keep myself well in control, and I'm not going to let anyone know. Listen, it's no sign of weakness to tremble when you think about meeting God. There's not one of us are big enough, are strong enough, or pure enough to meet him. We ought to tremble when we consider that one day we have to stand before God. And this man began to tremble because he was awakened to the fact that he was not ready to meet God, and he was also enlightened. He was enlightened in a physical way. Just as he was awakened in a physical way, he was enlightened in a physical way. He called for a light. It was dark. It was midnight. Long before there were street lights. And this was a dark dungeon that he was keeping guard over. And whatever the shadows may have been on the outside, everything was dark on the inside. And he calls for a light. And one of his officers bring him a light, and he comes in trembling. He is enlightened. And through the shadows of that prison, he picks out the two gospel preachers. He says, "Man, I need an answer." And he was enlightened in a spiritual sense as well. Not only was he awakened spiritually, but he was enlightened spiritually, and he got the answer then that you and I have already heard. The answer to the greatest question, what must I do to be saved? The answer is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Just a few simple thoughts then on this that I want to present to you. The first of them is this: I want to think with you of the necessity of salvation. Salvation's necessity. Listen to what he says. What must I do to be saved? This is not an optional extra. Now, some of the trucks that you have over here, they're massive. They wouldn't hardly fit on the road that we live
on back home. I see them, and some of them seem quite normal. But then there are those optional extras that you can get for them. So I see, you can get them jacked off the ground. I don't know what that's for. You can get them with a big hitch on the back of it. Well, I can see what that's for. There are lots of things. If you went into Ford and you were going to get your F-150 and you were going to rig it out, they would say you can have this or that or the other. But listen, they're not going to sell you one without a steering wheel. That's not an optional extra. They're not going to sell you one without a brake. It's not an optional extra. They'll not sell you one without an engine. No. There are certain things that are essential, are basic. If you're going to have a vehicle, you need these things. You must have them. And so many people look upon life and they think, well, religion, that's for people that like a little bit of comfort. As one prominent atheist said, Christianity is for people that are afraid of the dark. But you see, he's not afraid of the dark, he doesn't need it. Well, John Lennox said back to him in a very, very interesting way, he says, well, atheism is for people that are afraid of the light. And that is true. This is light. And someone who turns to atheism switches off the light within their hearts. And those who turn back from it, and thank God for many who have, they step back into the light of the truth of the Word of God. But you see, my friend, there is only one essential thing in life. You say, but I need to eat. Yes, you do, but you need to be saved more than you need to eat. I need to drink. They tell me that I need to drink, what is it, 2 liters every day. Make sure it's water, of course, not A&W's root beer or something like that, but take some good clear water and drink plenty of it. Yeah, you need that. You will. You'll need it. But you need salvation more than that. You say, I need an education. I need to learn my sums. I want a job. I need one of these big trucks someday, so I need to earn money. Listen, yeah, you might, but you need salvation more than that. Boys and girls, you must be saved. Older friends, you must be saved. You could get to heaven without another bite to eat, without another glass to drink, without another trip in a car. You could get to heaven without any of these things. But you can't get to heaven without salvation. You must be saved. You can't get there by religion. You can't get there by your good works. You can't get there by eating communion, the bread and the wine. You can't get to heaven by being baptized. You cannot get to heaven by saying your prayers. You must be saved to be in heaven. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation's necessity. We must be saved. Sometimes we hear this and we know it to be true, but we fail to grasp the urgency of it. This man, he knew it was urgent. He had almost crossed the line into eternity. No coming back. No making right the wrong move. You die in your sin, you'll be lost forever. The Bible has very, very solemn words. Way back in the Old Testament, it's the preacher, Ecclesiastes, he's preaching, he says, wherever the tree falls, there it will lie. Your little tree, the tree of your life, wherever it falls, is going to lie there forever. When you die, if you die in Christ, you'll be in Christ forever. If you die in your sins, you'll be in your sins forever. Oh, how vital it is to have salvation.
salvation's necessity. I want to think about salvation's identity. And they both said, the both of the preachers said, and that's what we're endeavouring to do, because we preach from the same Bible, we're going to say the same thing. And my brother, Mr. Richard, has been telling you about the Lord Jesus. He's the only Saviour. He was going to Jerusalem on this journey. Why? Because there's only one person can save you, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Saviour. In fact, that lovely word Jesus, many of you already know that it means Savior. When he came to be named, God said, you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He would save everyone. He went to the cross to die. And when he died on that cross, the Bible says, he bore the sin of the whole world. There's nobody excluded from this. There is enough salvation to go around. I love it whenever you see the advertisement and they say there's plenty of stock and you have plenty of time and you can come and you can get this bargain. But sometimes they say stock is limited. Hooray. While stocks last. Well, we would say to you, hurry to be saved because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. But listen, if everybody else in the world were saved tonight, there's still salvation for you. The Lord Jesus, when he went to the cross, he went because God loved the whole world and he went to bear the sin of the whole world. And so, he would save the whole world, but he simply named Jesus because he will save his own people from their sins. How can you become one of his people? Well, we're going to discover that now. Salvation's identity, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of Calvary, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the one that the Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. But let's consider salvation's simplicity. So many boys and girls here tonight, we love to see them. And the wonderful thing about it is this, that salvation is so simple that you can have it tonight. Older friends, don't miss it. Don't walk past simplicity because we think to ourselves it must be a complicated thing. And if it's worth having, It must be harder than what it seems. Not so. We've been hearing about our brother being 60 years in Christ. And this year I'm 40 years in Christ. And I was saved just as a little lad. I'll put you out of your misery. I was 8. So you can do the math. And just as a little boy of 8, back in Ireland, on a Sunday night, tossing and turning in my bed, I wanted to be saved. Oh, you say, if salvation was a difficult thing, well then I couldn't get it. That's true. I couldn't have got it. But here, listen to what it says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, what a joy is this. The simplicity of faith. Of a little child just simply taking God at his word and trusting in the Lord Jesus. Have we not been hearing the other side of it? I want to preach that for a moment and remind you of what we've heard from Luke 15, that we need to repent of our sin. If you want to be that sheep that Christ brings home to heaven, you need to repent of your sin. You need to turn from it. You need to have done with it. You will not let go of your sin under your own power, but you need to be prepared to let go of it. And Christ will save you from your sin. Not only eternally, but also in this life. You need to repent, to turn from it, to confess it to God, but you need to trust in the Lord Jesus. Receive him as your Savior. And then salvation's reality. Let me tell you just a second about Nate, or Nat. Nat, I think was the way they pronounced it. Nat Morrow, back in Ireland, I met him when I was having gospel meetings, and I met him the same day that I was talking to a man who had done times in prison on several occasions. He was a drug dealer. He still unfortunately is. I was speaking to him just about a week ago. Keep contact with him. Seek to bring the gospel to him. But as I was going around the village, I came upon this man's house. His wife was attending the gospel. He hadn't come as yet. This older man, and he says, "You need to be very careful who you're speaking to." He says, "Why?" Well, he told me. I said, "Look, I know." "What are you going there?" "Oh, he was one of the sinners, all right. He was one of the sinners." I said, "Yes, I know. I know all about them. I know the kind of life they're living. But God loves them and Christ died for them and they need to be saved. Just like you. Tell me this." I said, "Nat, are you saved?" And he dropped his head. I said, "Nat, listen. Will you not come and hear the gospel?" Nat eventually came and Nat was saved. And within a few months, he was diagnosed with cancer. And he died about 18 months after he was saved. But his life was transformed. I had the joy of preaching at his open grave. And around about between 200 and 300 people standing there in a lovely County Antrim day. The sun was shining, believe it or not. And I was looking across the cemetery and told the people about Nat Morrow's verse. What was it? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Do you know what he said to me? "Do you know what the best word in that verse is?" Well, I began to think about it. And I came up with quite a number of words that might be the best word. Well, do you know what his best one was? "Thou." "Thou." He says, "That's me." He says, "I know I have this." He says, I'm not going to be here for very much longer. But I have it." Changed his life. Give him a certainty of heaven. Have you got that? Do you know you're going to be in heaven? Do you know if you died in an accident on the way home tonight that you would be with Christ? Oh, you need it. Don't stray for any longer. Don't wander any further away from God. But repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved tonight.